You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Driving up the 805 to come to church today. And as you might have noticed, it's raining because all of San Diego shuts down in the rain. And I was driving up the 805 getting ready to exit university. And I saw this fire truck in the road. And I was like, Derek? It wasn't Derek. But I saw this fire truck and immediately my heart just sank. And I got around this fire truck and I saw three cars overturned in the middle of the freeway. And I looked and my heart just dropped because I saw a car seat in the middle of one of the lanes. And immediately I just started praying over whatever was happening in this situation and in this accident. And it just struck me what we were just singing about, how sometimes the darkness just comes out of nowhere. You're just driving up the freeway and all of a sudden the darkness just consumes you. And I started thinking about moments in my life where it just felt like the darkness just consumed me. I was thinking about when I found out that my mom had breast cancer and how the darkness just seemed to rush in out of nowhere. I thought about the Friday afternoon when I got a phone call saying that my best friend was in the hospital with a brain infection, and Saturday by 3 p.m. she was gone. And just how the darkness just consumed me. I thought, man, there are these moments in life when it just feels like the darkness just comes out of nowhere. You're just driving down the street. You're just going about your daily business, and the darkness just overtakes you. And I thought sometimes, though, there's other moments where it's slow and it's gradual. And it's one thing after another, and it's these little steps, and before you know it, you've lost yourself. And maybe you're in one of those two camps here, and you come and maybe just out of nowhere, you just feel like the darkness has just consumed you. Or maybe it's been a slow series of things that have kind of built and built to this just overwhelming despair. Wherever you find yourself here this morning, I just want to let you know that your darkness trembles at the name of Jesus. Your darkness trembles at the name of Jesus. There is no other name with which we can take our darkness and it trembles. I love living in this hope that cancer trembles at the name of Jesus, that death trembles at the name of Jesus, that depression, that despair, that insecurity, that unemployment, that all of these things tremble at the name of Jesus. And under no other name are we gathered here this morning. And if you hear nothing else, before I even start talking, I want you to hear that whatever your darkness is, it trembles at the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for mornings that cause us to slow down a little bit, Lord, to pause and to reflect on your goodness. God, and I thank you that there's power in your name. God, that we are all here because we long to know more about you. God, we long to know more about what you can do in our lives if we just surrender them to you. God, so I just pray for this morning, Lord, whatever darkness is in our lives, God, whether big or small. Jesus, that you would just come and be here in this space, God, that you would just show up in power and in might. We ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, welcome to Makers Church. If you would, say hi to your neighbor before you take a seat, and we're going to get started here. Hey, good morning. Like Pastor Derek said, my name is Shalise, and whether you're joining us live or on live stream, I just want to say how grateful I am to be here with you this morning. You know, praying over accidents was something that my dad kind of ingrained into me at a young age. Whenever we were driving and we would see an accident, he'd always say, let's pray. And we would stop whatever we were doing and we would pray. And then we got into like really spiritual things, like we need a parking spot, so we have to do our parking prayer, right? You know, so you're like, I'm going to do my parking prayer. And sure enough, every time, I don't know why I don't still do that. I should, especially here in North Park. Sometimes the parking can get crazy. But we would do like these parking prayers and we would pray for like a parking spot to show up. And so from a very young age, my parents tried to instill in me the value of learning to ask God for things. I remember when I was 5 years old and we were at a summer camp that my parents were working at, and I was thirsty and I wanted a Pepsi. And I turned to my dad, and being the good parent that he was, he said, no. And I was like, but dad, I want a Pepsi. It's hot. It's the summer. I'm thirsty. And I see this beautiful, shining, glorious Pepsi machine. And my dad says, okay, Shalice, you want a Pepsi? Ask God for one. And I said, fine, I will. And at 5 years old, I will never forget this. I walked right up to that Pepsi machine, no hesitation, pushed that button, boom, Pepsi drops out. And I just picked it up, and I said, thank you, and I walked away. And I thought, man, that was so rad. Like at 5 years old, you know, my parents were instilling me this truth of just, hey, ask God for what you want. But if I'm honest, like as I get older, it gets a lot harder to ask for things. You know, sometimes it feels like the stakes are just a lot higher, right? And it's so true for many of us. Like we used to have such an easy time when we were little. You want a cookie, you ask for a cookie. You want to play with somebody, you ask to go to their house. But as we get older, it gets harder and harder to ask for things. Because the truth is that there is this moment between when you ask for something and when you get the answer that is just riddled with anxiety and fear. Just riddled with anxiety and fear. I remember when I was doing online dating, and you can already tell where this is going. I was doing online dating, and I was like, you got to put yourself out there. You got to ask for what you want. You know, like, are you employed? Didn't think I would have to ask that question so many times. Like, do you have a job? And my list of things, do you have a job and do you love Jesus? If so, we can date. But thank goodness that I was patient and I ended up meeting my amazing boyfriend, Drew. But I read Drew's profile and at the very bottom it said, hey ladies, first message is on you. And I was like, excuse me? First message is on me? Like, no, you're supposed to ask me out. Like, I've got to put myself out there. And so I'm like, fine, first message is on me. It's gonna be the best message you've ever read in your life. And so I write this like cute, funny, witty message and I send it off. And the moment I hit send, I was like, oh no, nope, panic. Don't you wish there was like an unsend button for text messages and email where you could just click like unsend? Whew. It would make the world so much easier. But I sent him this message, spoiler alert, we're dating now, so it was a good message. But I sent him this message and all of a sudden, like, the fear and anxiety started to creep in. I thought, oh no, like, what if this doesn't go the way I want it to go? This could go horribly wrong. You know, I think four of my, like, dearest friends got married in the last 2 weeks. Steve and Vanessa got married, and Jess and Evan. Jess is our community group leader, and Evan is one of our elders and amazing worship leaders. And I remember kind of talking to them about the proposal, you know, in that moment, like, You have to ask somebody to marry you, usually. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. But it was amazing. I'm like, you know they're going to say yes, right? But still, even though you know the person's going to say yes, just the insane amount of anxiety and fear that you experience in that moment getting ready to ask the biggest question of your life. And I promise you, this is not a ploy to get my boyfriend to propose at all. I promised him I also would not propose, even, just kidding, no, I'm kidding. I promise that I also would not propose, but it wouldn't be crazy because I actually come from a line of strong, independent women who like to ask for what they want. That's right, Betty Jean, my grandma. The story goes, I don't know if this story is true, but this is the story they told, so I'm just gonna go with it. But the story that my grandma told was that she and her sister and mom went down to TJ to go dancing. Very different day and age than the one we live in now. But she goes down to TJ to go dancing. And my grandpa was in the Navy, and he was there with all his buddies, and he sees my grandma, and they do this thing that only happens in, like, the 1940s, where he's like, I'm gonna marry her. And then they got married, which is crazy. But he, you know, he liked her and saw her. And the story goes that 3 days later, you know, they're hanging out a couple weeks, he ships out to go to Japan, he gets deployed. And then 3 weeks later, she sends them their engagement notice in the mail. Said, hey, like, here it is. We're getting married, you know. She didn't even ask. She just said, we're getting married, so you better get ready. And when he got back, they got married. And then there's my mom, right? So it doesn't just stop with Betty Jean. It goes to my mom. My mom heard something like, on leap year, you're allowed to propose to the guy. Like, allowed to. But, like, you can propose to the guy. And so my mom was, like, waiting for my dad to get his act together. Wink, wink. And so my mom's like, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. It's a leap year, and I'm going to propose. So she does. She proposes to my dad, and my dad says, I'll pray about it, which is basically like the Christian equivalent of no. If somebody ever tells, I'll pray about that. It's basically, yeah, like the Christian equivalent of no. But then a few months later, he proposed, and here we are. So my bloodline, my lineage is full of strong, independent women and men who know how to ask for what they want. Because being willing to ask for what you want is such a crucial part of being a healthy human. There's so many times, our good friend Mike Daphne always says, healthy people ask for what they want. I thought, man, that's so true. Like being able to put your desires and your wants and your needs out there into the universe is such a healthy thing to do. The problem is a lot of times we're putting our desires and our wants and our needs into the hands of others. And it's terrifying because you don't always know how they're going to respond. But today, we are going to talk a little bit about what it looks like to ask. So on the count of three, just say it with me. We're going to say ask. One, two, three. All right, let's try that again. One, two, three. Tell your neighbor, you need to ask for what you want. So there's an incredible story in Scripture about a young Roman centurion who makes a bold, bold ask of Jesus. Pick it up in Matthew 8, 5 through 10. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. That one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. I just think, I mean, what an incredible story. Like, I get nervous to ask somebody out on a date or, like, to hang out or to be my friend or to ask for a raise that I want. And this guy is asking Jesus to heal his paralyzed servant. Not only is he asking him to heal his paralyzed servant, he's asking him to do it remotely. He's like, don't even come to my house. You just stay where you are, but just say the word. And I know that he will be healed. And I wonder, like, what was going on in this guy's head from the moment that he asked the question till the moment that Jesus healed him? This wasn't the day of text messaging. Like, no one was at home texting the Roman centurion, like, your servant has been healed. I imagine that was an incredibly long walk back to his house. But he asked Jesus. He says, Jesus, I need help. He asks him for help. He's like, this person that I love, that I care for, that is a part of my family is suffering, and I need you to heal them. And we know that it's not because the centurion felt super confident. It's not that he felt like he deserved it, like he had done enough good deeds and Jesus owed him this. Because it says that he felt so lowly that he didn't even want him to come to his house. You know, I think maybe the centurion had heard about Jesus. You know, Capernaum was like a small fishing village, and Jesus did a lot of miracles there. Later on, this is the spot where the friends would lower the paralyzed man down through the roof. A lot of paralyzed people in Capernaum. I don't know why. But he would be healed as well. But he knew of Jesus. He knew that it was possible in his head, obviously, for Jesus to heal this man because he asks him to do it. But there's a huge difference between knowing something in your head and then actually doing something about it. There's a lot of things that I know in my head to be truth that I have a much harder time asking for. And a lot of the times it's because of fear. You know, I know that things might happen, but it's hard to ask for it to happen because what if it doesn't work out? Oh man, what if I look stupid or foolish or silly, or I say I want this thing and then it doesn't happen the way that I want? Or what if I ask for somebody to be healed and then they don't get healed? Or what if I ask, you know, somebody to go on a date and then they reject me? And it creates a lot of fear and anxiety around this idea of asking. But I am confident in this. You will never get what you don't ask for. if you're not willing to be bold enough and courageous enough to actually ask, I would venture to guess you don't even deserve the thing that you're asking for. See, we have to be a people who are bold, like Mark talked about 2 weeks ago. We need to be people who are bold, who can actually ask for the future that we want to see happen, because all of Scripture points us to this truth in James 4:2. James 4:2, very simple. You do not have because you do not what? You don't have because you don't ask. You do not have because you do not ask God. So if you don't have something, you should just ask for it, right? That's what Scripture tells us. John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Whatever you wish, it will be done for you. John 14:13-14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Matthew 7:7-12 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Sounds amazing, right? Whatever you wish, whatever you ask for, ask and it will be done. Ask and it will be given to you. Okay, but as an English teacher, we got to talk about pronouns for a second. I know you're excited to come to church and talk about pronouns. This beautiful singular third person pronoun, the word it, drives me crazy. I grade papers. He doesn't like it. And I always circle, what is it? Right? What are you trying to say? And this should be really, really encouraging. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. But here is how I interpret that scripture. Ask and it will be given to you. What is it? How do I know if I want it? What if the it isn't the it that I want, but it's a different it and I don't want that it? And what do I do about that it that I don't want that now I have? I need to know what the it is before I ask for it. Tell me what it is. Seek and you will find. Find what? What if I don't want to find that thing? What if that thing doesn't want to be found by me? Like, what if I'm looking for something and I'm looking for the wrong thing and I find the wrong thing, but maybe in the right place or the right thing in the wrong place at the right time at the wrong time? What am I finding? Knock and the door will be open. What if I want door number 3 and I don't want door number 1? Or what if I don't like that door? Or what if it's one of those weird doors where you walk through and it locks from behind and you can't get back out? And now I walk through this door and maybe I don't want to go through that door. It's wrapped in ambiguity and uncertainty. But there are two truths that I've pulled from these verses. Two truths that I want to share with you this morning. The first truth, if you're not getting what you're asking for the wrong things. If you're not getting what you're asking for the wrong things. See, the verses here, they say, ask God. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified. See, if we want to receive the things that we ask for, we actually have to learn how to ask for the right things. Psalm 37:4 is one of my favorite verses. I love this verse growing up. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's another one of those verses that sounds so great, right? Like, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Until it kind of hit me and struck me. I was interpreting it as that when I delight in God, when I rejoice in God, when I love God, when I find joy and pleasure in God, then he gives me what my heart desires. And then I realized that that's actually not true. When I delight in the Lord and I rejoice in him and I find joy in him, he actually gives my heart desires. He gives my heart new things to desire. He puts new dreams inside of me. He puts new goals inside of me. He puts things inside of me that are for his glory, that are in his name, that aim to bring truth and beauty and hope into this world. So if you're not getting the things that you're asking for, maybe you need to reevaluate what you've been asking for. You just might be asking for the wrong thing. The second truth that we find here is that Ambiguity is actually not your enemy. It is the fuel of your faith. See, I don't really like uncertainty personally. It's not the thing that makes me feel comforted or in control. But when I read these verses and I go through these passages, I recognize that ambiguity and uncertainty is actually the fuel of my faith. It's the thing that reminds me that I can't actually do it on my own. Uncertainty pushes me into the arms of a creator who's so much bigger than me, whose power is so much greater than my own, whose understanding of life and this world is so much more vast, whose love for the people that I love is greater than I could ever imagine. And ambiguity and uncertainty are these things that shouldn't stop us from asking God what we want, or asking God for what we want. It should be the very things that propel us to ask for something greater than ourselves. And so when we step into these moments of asking and we start to feel that anxiety, we start to feel that uncertainty, that unsend, I think that's God telling you that you're actually in the right place. Because if you're asking for things and you know you're gonna get it, you're not asking big enough. If you're asking for things and you know for sure it's gonna happen, I would venture to guess that you're probably not asking God for big enough things. See, at Makers, our desire here is right here to make here on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know how big of an ask that is? And my little finite knowledge of what I imagine heaven to be, I imagine heaven to be this place of no sorrow, of no fear, of no pain, of only hope and beauty and joy. And the fact that we as a church say that our mission is to bring that here, to bring heaven here on earth, that is a huge ask. That is something that we in and of ourselves as broken people, as a broken humanity, could never accomplish on our own. And that's why we as a church have to posture ourselves to actually ask God to do something greater than what we could ever, ever do. And I love that we dream big as a church. It's a challenge for me, honestly, to dream bigger, because if I'm honest, a lot of times, like, I struggle with the little things. I have a hard time even just like asking for help. You know, when you're getting ready to move your house, and you're like, who do I ask? Like, this is gonna be the end of the friendship, so I better pick carefully. Like, nobody wants to help me move. I can't ask for help. I have a hard time asking for simple, small things. And maybe that's where you find yourself today, and you're thinking, like, here on earth as this is in heaven, like, I can't even ask a girl out, like, much less the kingdom of God to be here on this earth. But Mark Wallace, our pastor, said something so impactful a few weeks ago that kind of rocked my world, and he said, faith is not given, it's grown. I thought, man, that's so true. You know, you don't just jump into a situation and get this massive God-sized faith. Usually faith is something that incrementally, as we go through experiences and challenges, our faith has grown. And I thought, what if it could be the same way with our asking? Like, what if we as a church gave permission for people to grow in their faith through what they ask for? We talk a lot about next step giving here at Makers. It's like, just take you on that next step. And my goal today is that you would become next step askers after today. So here's where it starts. If you don't ask, ask. Ask her out. Ask for the job you want. Ask for somebody to give you the help that you need. When you're sick, ask somebody to bring you medicine if you really can't muster up enough courage to put on sweatpants to go to CVS. Like, be willing to ask those little things. Ask God for a parking spot. And watch what happens. Because at 5 years old, my life was radically changed because I asked for a Pepsi. It wasn't even good for me. Sometimes God will give you bad things just so you know that he is faithful. And you just have to ask. But if you already ask, ask bigger. Ask her to marry you. I'm not even looking at my boyfriend because I don't want him to think I'm like trying to manipulate the situation. Ask for the promotion. Ask for the raise. Ask for healing. Ask God to do what only he can do. If you are an amazing asker, ask for others. This Roman centurion had the boldness and the faith to ask God for something that wasn't even for him in the long run. It was for the healing of somebody else. And I'm sure that every single one of us could call to mind somebody in our lives that needs to be asked for. Maybe they don't have the faith or the strength or the courage to ask themselves, but will we be a people that would actually ask for others? That we could say, hey, I know that you're struggling. I know that you're hurting. I got you. I'm gonna ask for you. And lastly, could we be a people that ask God for the impossible? One of my impossible dreams, the thing that I ask God for more than anything else, is to be a part of a church, that we would know a church where shame does not exist. Having grown up and been to so many churches and seeing so much judgment and condemnation, I was like, man, what if there was a church where it was love and it was grace and it was forgiveness and shame could not even exist in this space? And I know that that is a huge ask. I want to change something so badly, and I know that I'm just one person and there's no way that I could actually do it on my own, but I believe that that is God's heart for you as a church, that you would know spaces where there was no shame, where there was no judgment, where there was no condemnation, where you truly could come as you were and have God encounter you in a very real way. And I believe that when I ask God for that thing, that it is actually aligning with his desire for the church, that is aligning with his desire for this earth, and that when we ask for things that big, that God-centered and driven, that we could actually see heaven and the kingdom of God brought here on this earth. I know that what I'm telling you is not revolutionary. It's a three-letter word, ask. But I promise that the practice of doing it will change your life. So if you would actually stand with me, I want to take a few moments and actually begin to step into that uncomfortable space between asking and receiving, where we begin to actually make our desires and our dreams and our wants known. And I want you to hear me when I tell you that your darkness and your fear trembles at the name of Jesus. So whatever darkness is trying to stifle your voice from asking for what you want, whatever fear or anxiety or insecurity or ambiguity that you have allowed to be a part of your life that has kept you from desiring those greater things, from desiring those things of God, not in this space, not for the next 5 minutes, not as long as you're here, and not this week. We will not let the darkness be here. It says where two or more are gathered, whatever you ask for in my name, it will be given to you. And I don't know if you looked around, but there's more than two of you here. And we're gonna ask in the name of Jesus for these things that we long for and these things that we desire and these things that we want. And if you're here and no one has ever asked you the most important question, the only question that matters in this world, I wanna ask you if you would choose to follow Jesus. If you've never given your life to Jesus, if you found yourself struggling time and time again to create a world that you can't seem to manifest, to create dreams and desires, and things just seem to be swallowing you up and the darkness is continual and constant, I wanna encourage you to get close to Jesus. So we're gonna bow our heads for this moment. And if you're here and you just say, yeah, like I don't even know, but I just wanna ask Jesus to be closer to me, I want to follow Jesus with my life. If that's you and you've never said yes to following Jesus, if you just shoot your hand up and down real quick, I just want to pray with you. Amen. I see you just up and down real quick so I can pray with you. And then if you just say this prayer with me in your heart, Jesus, I'm asking for you to become the center of my universe. God, that you would be the Lord of my life. I can't do it on my own. And from this day forward, I choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.